This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson this morning. We're glad you've tuned us in. We trust this program will be an encouragement and a help to you. If you would like to contact me again, I need to mention that you'll need to get a pencil and a piece of paper out so you can write my mailing address and my website address down at the close of the program. You can contact me either by regular mail or through the website. If you'd like to have a copy of this program on a CD, you'll have to let me know. If you would like to be put on the free subscription list for Grace and Truth, a monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, you'll need to send me your name and address so that I can do that. Again, if you would like to make comments on the program or leave me prayer requests, you can do that. And each week I put a meditation on the website, and if you're not on my email list for those meditations, you can read them on the website. If you would like to be on the email list, just send me your email address. It's easy to add you. Now, again, today we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 17, and you'll notice that we're making sort of a travelogue type approach now to the ministry of Paul. We're looking at where he has gone, and he wanted to go into Turkey. The Lord wouldn't allow him to go into Turkey. So he came over to Greece. And in Greece, the first main city that he came to was Philippi. He ended up in jail. But because of jail, there was a man that we call the Philippian jailer who was saved. And one of the most important points that we have in that story is the question that the Philippian jailer asked. And that question was, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He was addressing Paul and Silas. And they answered in unison, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And we preach that same gospel today. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who died for our sins, who was buried, who was raised from the dead. He's the one who proved himself to be the Son of God, the sinless, perfect sacrifice for our sins. And so the answer is, believe on him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. When we trust him, his work becomes the substitutionary sacrifice for the sins that we have committed. Now they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And so the message was not limited to him. The same message that was preached to him was preached to his whole house. And we are encouraged when we see that the whole house heard the gospel that night. The whole house believed the gospel that night. The whole house was baptized that night, not because of the faith of the Philippian jailer, but because of their own personal faith when they heard the gospel. And it encourages us to believe that God can still save in that same way today. He can save whole households. Then we see him, Paul, leaving Philippi. And he ends up in Thessalonica, where there is great persecution. And from Thessalonica, he goes down to Berea. And we'll remember that one of the important aspects of Berea was that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And of course, when we search the scriptures, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we don't have to necessarily hear audibly. We can hear through the written word as well, as I understand it. But when we hear the message of the gospel, there's something about it that is convicting and that has an effect upon us. And so the Bereans didn't want to just take the word of Paul and Silas. They searched the scriptures daily. And if there's one thing we would like to encourage our listeners to do, it's to have that same attitude toward what they hear being preached from the Bible today. There are many people that say they're going to a Bible-believing church because people preach from the Bible. But it is interesting that even the intelligent listener knows that people are taking the same verses and preaching different things from the same verses. They are not preaching the context of the verse. They're preaching applications. They're preaching, in many cases, a church doctrine from the verse, but the question is, are they preaching what God would have us to know from the verse? And ultimately, we're all going to have to take personal responsibility for making a decision about what the Bible really means. Now, when it comes to the basic aspect of God's salvation, there can be no doubt that starting in Genesis, where an animal had to be slain in order for Adam and Eve to be clothed after they sinned, from that point on till we get to the end of the Revelation, we see that it always takes a sacrifice to put away sin. It takes blood to put away sin, and the life of the flesh is in the blood. And so that message is clear. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the work of Christ that saves, the work of dying for us at the cross of Calvary. And so, the Bereans searched the scriptures daily to see if these things were so, so that they wouldn't just be believing what a man had said, they would be believing what God has said. I think one of our problems today is that many people have been told that they are saved, but they have never realized that God Himself gives us that assurance in His Word. These things, 1 John 5 and verse 13 says, "These things I have written unto you that believe, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." We need to get our own assurance on the things that bring us into relationship with God from the Word of God. And so the Bereans did that. The Thessalonians didn't like the fact that Paul and Silas had gone to Berea, and so they came down there and persecuted them there. And so from there now we see Paul going to Athens. And Athens is another situation altogether. It seems to be very philosophical, very secular, and very pagan. So we want to read about his going to Athens, starting at verse 15 in Acts chapter 17. "So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the Gentile worshippers." Notice again, there was a Jewish place of worship here, even though the city was given over to idolatry. So he reasoned first with the Jews, he always went there first, and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus. I don't know how you say that, but it was the Colosseum where they could meet, or at least the amphitheater where they could meet and discuss these things, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak, for you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore we want to know what these things mean. For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." He starts out, I think, complimenting them, although the word religious is often used in a very negative way in the Bible, but he seems to be complimenting them. I think he's saying, "You're very spiritual. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you." Now, we're going to look at the rest of his message next time, but as we look at this passage, the thing that's interesting is that Paul used his time well. He was forced to go to Athens, and he used his time well in Athens while he was waiting there. He didn't just sit and wait for something to happen. He made himself available to the Lord in the marketplace and in the synagogue. And he met people who had questions about the things that he was proclaiming and the things that he believed. Now, from what I understand, we really never read of a church being established at Athens, at least through Paul. As a matter of fact, there may have been people who believed in Athens, but as far as I know, we aren't told of anyone who believed in Athens. But we are told that Paul faithfully preached the gospel in Athens to the Epicureans and to the Stoic philosophers. So this was a place of higher education. Many of the things that we have learned about philosophy and about logic and other things that you can reason about, we get those things from some of the men who likely Paul talked to at this time. And it's interesting that when people think they're educated, when people think that they have the ability to determine right and wrong in their own minds, that they are generally not open to letting God tell them what is right and what is wrong. So they were worshiping a lot of gods. It wasn't that they didn't think there was a God, and I know a lot of people like that. They say, I know there's a God, but I don't know who he is. And they apparently were a lot like this, and they had an inscription. They had apparently some kind of an idol called to the unknown God. I found an altar. So there was an altar, not necessarily an idol, but an altar to the unknown God. Now, an altar was a place where they offered sacrifice and worship. So Paul says, you're worshipers of this unknown God. Well, he says the God they didn't know is the Lord Jesus. And it's interesting that there is only one God, and creation shows that God does exist, but philosophy doesn't usually help us find it. Philosophy is man's reasoning. When we start out saying, I think, or it seems to me, in a sense, we are philosophers. And there were two types of philosophers here. We see them in the world today. There were the Stoics. Those were the people who denied the flesh, who were careful about self-discipline. And then there was the Epicureans. They said that if it felt good, do it. They were people who fed the flesh. They were the people who thought that they should enjoy the appetites that God had given to them, even when enjoying them was perhaps a thing of excess. So we had the Stoics, people who would deny the flesh. We had the Epicureans, people who would feed the flesh, and neither one of them knew God. It isn't a matter of our lifestyle. It's a matter of understanding that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And Paul tried to explain through the resurrection that there was one that they didn't know, who they needed to know, and that one was the Lord Jesus. And we're still trying to preach that today as well. Even in the United States of America, there are many people who deny the flesh, who live what they consider to be a righteous life, and they think that they're all right with God, but they're simply religious. They're not saved. The Epicureans mostly are worldly and probably would deny the truth that they need to be saved. So, friend, we still preach about the God who is unknown to many people, and it's the resurrected Jesus. Have you trusted him for salvation? Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson and those who have listened. We thank thee for thy salvation. We thank thee that it's through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Bless all who are listening today, Lord. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.